to St. Andrew Episcopal School's faculty-led podcast, Inspire and Innovate, a podcast for educators. We are somehow in our seventh season of the show, and this time we're shedding some light on teaching these days by taking a look at a series of often unspoken teacher life truths. The joys, the challenges, the absurdity of it all. What's it like teaching as an introvert versus extrovert? Is it possible to teach 80 kids a day and still feel lonely? How does the parent hat intersect with the teacher hat? Honest stories from our faculty at St. Andrews to you, we present Teacher Truths. And on this first episode, on ghosts and cloaks, the invisible parts of teaching life, let's get into it. We are looking at teacher truths. We're not interested in lies in this series, are we, Toby?
No.
The whole truth?
Most of it.
Nothing but.
The truth.
Here, coming to you live from Pre-K 3, Taylor Davis's room. And we are 3 days out or 2 days out? We are 2 days out from the spookiest day.
Of the whole teacher year.
The whole dang year. What day is it, Sana?
Halloween!
Woo! So, by the time you listen to this, Halloween may be a distant memory by the time we edit
Thanksgiving.
This. Might be a little bit. But just put yourself back in the Halloween spirit, because we are bringing to you the first episode of this season on ghosts and cloaks, the invisible parts of teaching life. Da, da, da. It's scary, but it's also inspiring, because some of this stuff is actually very happy and heartwarming. We have all experienced the very public part of teaching, right? How a teacher lectures, how a teacher has circle time, how a teacher designs a learning experience. But, Toby, what about those more veiled parts of the job of teaching that no one sees? What stories can we share about invisible parts of teaching across a range of grade levels, and what costs and benefits lurk in the shadows of these hidden parts of our work? I think I've really tired that metaphor. Sorry. Everybody in the room is like cringing. I am so grateful though for the people in the room. So I'm Julie Brest. I work in whole school academics, but I am also thrilled now to represent teaching 12th graders. So I can share a little bit about that. Teaching English this year. And I am joined with podcast epic star Toby Lowe. Toby, who are you?
I'm Toby Lowe. I'm an epic podcast star, and I teach fifth grade math, have done for the last 8 years. I had a year teaching first grade, which was very memorable, and a year teaching fourth grade math. So mostly math, mostly in the middle school, not down here on the beautiful South Campus. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that's
there's
been cloaked.
Hidden. Ooh. But you've heard a lot of our voices throughout the season, so we are most excited to have two first-time podcast joining guest people, Sana Watson and Hannah Woodward. Y'all want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. All right. Hey, I'm Sana Watson, and I teach kindergarten. I started as an assistant maybe 7 years ago. It feels like a lifetime ago, but yeah, 7 years ago, I think. And maybe the spookiest time was the Saints at Home experience that I did, and then got to a classroom with my kindergartners. So a little bit less spooky being in a classroom than driving around 30 houses a week.
Oh my gosh, I cannot. And Sana did write this great blog that we'll have to post on the episode notes, so you can read a little bit specifically about that. Sana, you know, my spooky memories of you are you like coming into my house during COVID virtual school when you were co-teaching with Robin and Aliana's kindergarten teacher. And that was when I got to see, like, Robin had magical, magical movie moments, because they did these crazy, like, morning meetings that were, like, multimodal compositions of delight. Like, crazy, Hannah. Like, my friend and I co-wrote an article about them because they were so fascinating. So that was some hidden work you were doing behind the scenes during COVID. That was, as well, yeah. Before the before you were driving to 30 houses.
Before the real spookiness started.
Uh-huh. So, wow. Yeah. Lots of spookiness.
Yep. Very great. And I'm Hannah Woodward, and I teach second grade. I started teaching first grade with Toby.
Yeah.
Back in 2015. Did that for 4 years. Worked as a reading specialist for two. Took a quick trip to Atlanta for 2 years and came back. And second grade is a lot of fun, a little less spooky than first grade. So, Toby, if you ever want to come back. but yeah.
I feel like there's like something should be said about like you're disappearing away from St. Andrews.
Yeah, I ghosted St. Andrews for a minute.
Yeah, but you were also a ghost at St. Andrews because people would always still talk about getting Hannah back.
Yeah,
and like there was a strong vibe that you never left. Like you were haunting the hallway.
I was.
And then like there was like a call summoning of the spirit of Hannah, and then you came back.
And I think I still have like some books that are
you
from your classroom.
You probably have a lot of books from my classroom.
I do, because like several Densei Woodward.
Did any of those like 3-inch binders survive the entire time?
I would like to think that I've left those like in the wake of all of my positions, like at schools.
Yeah.
What are, wait, I need more. What is the 3-inch binder?
I tend to go through a lot of different organizational methods, and I guess Toby was there for my 3-inch binders for like 2-week chunks of time,
she had
which
her,
was great in theory, but then the next year those weeks didn't line up, and
she had her entire year planned out because we were next door teacher neighbors, and it was great because I cannot imagine more opposing vibes. as she put it last night, she's like, this guy had hot glue guns, dartboards, tables, like whiteboard surface tables. And she was in there and she had everything written on her whiteboard and then like the entire scope and sequence and then everything blocked into these binders and it filled up like, you know, an 8-foot tall cabinet. And I just went in there and was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yep. Okay, well, I mean, thank you for that unbelievably perfect segue into Hannah's invisible teaching work. So maybe we can start with Hannah, because this is so epic, in fact, that I heard about your working hours, like that like you had to be forced to go home situation.
Yes.
And so when I was thinking about like, who should I ask to be on this podcast?
Right.
I was like, I need to know more. I need to know about Hannah's work life.
Yes.
And like, how does that look? And like, how did you experience that? Because I have to say, I've had really different like working hours throughout my career. When I first started pre-kids, I had a little bit of Hannah vibe. Yeah. I had a lot of bit of Hannah vibe. I would close out the school. I would ride my little bike from my apartment. Oh, good days in Terre Haute, Indiana. And I would, I would come all weekend. I'd hang out all weekend.
Yeah.
It was cool. I don't know. I had a good time in my, and I was teaching a lot of preps. So I didn't feel resentment about it at all.
Right.
Like that was what was weird about it, I think, is now as I reflect on. And I think also times have changed and people are like re-examining their relationship with work. But a lot of that invisible work, I have like very warm memories of. And like, anyway, that's the Julie Russ snippet. But Hannah, we're talking about your binders. Tell us anything you want. Share anything you want about like all that invisible.
Yeah, there is a lot of invisible behind the scenes work. In my first classroom, it faced out on Old Canton. And so if I was there, you could see the lights on. And I would get a lot of texts being like, go home. Like,
oh, you were so lucky.
It's not that difficult. Like, whatever you're trying to say.
Thanks, guys.
Or like, you know, you don't get paid to work this hard on this, like just go home. And it is sort of that, like, you do have to explain to people, like, I'm not miserable. Like, I really just don't have the attention span to get work done when there are people around. And so I chose a job where there are constantly people around and they show up every day and they want things from you. So,
so true.
Right. So in hindsight, maybe I would be better suited for like a cubicle job, but I can't like sink my teeth into things until I have endless amounts of time ahead of me, which is a double-edged sword because if you have less time, like I'm still gonna get it done. So there is a balance that I've slowly worked towards, but I also get to know the cleaning crew really well. And a fun fact is that Mr. Chris, who's down here now in facilities, he did the vacuuming my first year.
Oh.
He would come by every night. He'd give me Netflix suggestions. He was friends with my hamster. And then he left. And I saw him once when I went to go get my water turned on at Metro Center Mall. And he was working there. And he's back this year. And he's here. And he was walking the hall. And I introduced myself. I was like, I'm Hannah. And he was like, I remember you. Like, you were here in the first grade hall. And I was like,
wow.
Mr. Chris.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And I would have never gotten to know Mr. Chris so much earlier than this year if I hadn't been, you know, burning the midnight oil. But I will say, yes, it is tricky to, once I get kind of like delve into something, then to stop and be like, you know, the phrase is always, it'll still be there tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, it will, but like, so will all these children. And like, there's nothing scarier than just a bunch of eyeballs staring at you. Like, what's next? What do we do?
Yeah. What primarily are you working on, let's say, like, and it may be different now than it was before when you were a newer teacher?
I've done a lot of reflecting on it, and it's funny, a lot of it is working ahead of time to like get a roadmap for what's coming ahead, but then of course you get to that time and nothing that you thought, nothing that you put in those big binders actually is what you need. And so
that's crazy.
But despite knowing that, I still do it over and over again.
Well, I think it does do something.
It is sort of like therapeutic in a way of like, I'm always going to have something. Like, there are other ways to go. But then as you get into it, you learn from what, you know, the teacher across the hall is doing. Yeah. Or your kids have a totally different understanding than you thought they did. Or, like, this year with second grade for the first time, like, I spent the time planning the first day all to be like, how to line up. Because in first grade, you're like, oh, my goodness, you get in a line. Mm-hmm. And you, like, stand there and you don't keep moving. Like, you just wait a second and first grade teachers train them really well, and so they get to second grade, and
you didn't have that all day.
I didn't have to spend all day on that. But I think there's a lot of unnecessary spiraling, but also it comes from a place of thinking, how am I going to plan this to reach this kid, but also this kid?
Yeah.
So that's when the differentiation comes
in. Which is kind of the beast.
I had a teacher. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, there's so much. How unprofessional.
I am so sorry. Josh Brewster, editor, I did not silence my phone.
Are we interrupting something?
Like a rookie move.
It's just interesting to me because so much ink has been spilled over like tips for saving time on differentiating. And when it comes down to it, like you actually do have to put in the hours to make it happen. And that's the like, that's the secret thing that makes the job so
hard
is like there's not a shortcut for that. You have to do that, and it's you get better at it certainly.
Sure,
yeah. But then you constantly have to like tweak it. So what may be good differentiation for one of your higher level kids isn't going to be great for another higher level kid. Or same with like scaffolding down. Like
I had this conversation with a teacher like 2 days ago. She popped in my office and she was sort of like, yeah, life is crazy. She's like, you know, I have 7 preps. And I was like, what? None of our teachers have 7 preps. I know we have 5 preps. I know maybe someone's done 6 preps.
This one does.
Who has 7 preps? Actually, Toby does have 7 preps.
I don't know.
Do you have 6?
Not
don't
different.
You have a lot? Okay, okay.
No. But I'm saying I know of whom you speak.
Well, but here's the trick. She was sort of tricking me out because actually she was like, well, there are people in the same class, but one of them transferred and didn't take the first level. Yeah. So in essentially, she was describing something that I would say is more than differentiation and less than a different prep. Right? Like, right. I was like, this is weird. And then in my head, I'm like, wait, everybody has like 100 preps in a way. Like, if we think about like really meeting the needs of our kids, if we're doing it right, like, we are, in a way, doing a whole bunch of preps. Now, I think this particular person had a good argument that, like, specific, like, Benton, I feel like maths and languages, there is such a systematic building of skills that, like, it can really be different preps. Like, where she's really having to create. But I thought about that a lot. And then when you mentioned this, I was like, oh, my gosh, this reminds me of my conversation where I was like, that's not a prep. And then I was like, well, that is kind of a prep. Wait, is that a prep?
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Toby, what about you? Like, what's your life like? What's hidden behind the Toby?
Do you still chug Sunny D when you have to get a bunch of stuff done?
Oh. No, and thank you.
He used
for
to come in at
me.
Like 5 a.m. to write report just, card comments at like a gallon
still,
of Sunny
that's
D.
That's still a big bugaboo, though. It's an in joke with Caroline and I. Like, how are they not done still? And I'm like, I know, and I only have to write 45 this year.
Okay, dude, Sunny, look, I need to talk more about Sunny D.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. It is like so acidic and doesn't taste like a real drink, and the consistency's weird, where it's like a little thick.
It is a little thick. That's why. That's
did you like the consistency?
Yep.
That's what does it for
me. Was it the sugar or the taste? Or both?
It was probably both. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. And there was just like an in-joke like of like one of my college friends would say, I'm going to go drink a gallon of Sunny D and pass out. So like,
and Toby really did it.
Yes. Yeah. And made it happen. But because it was just like, yeah. Because those report card comments were, like, really much longer and much more thoughtful. And now I'm writing, like, 70, and it's just so hard to sit down and get stuff done as I've gotten older. I don't know what happened, but, you know, remember in college when you can just, like, write a paper?
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit down in the library and I'll finish this 40-pager, and I won't go anywhere until it's done.
Yeah, bye.
And
I'll do
it.
But, right. So what my, like, hidden effort looks like is lots of systemic changes and like protocol changes. So like I piloted something new last year because I was not happy with the way that like homework was happening in my class. And I've talked to you about this, but it's the every 2 weeks. It's also because in fourth grade, like all of their stuff goes home physically. And in fifth grade, like everything's just online now. Yeah. And they're also getting grades for the first time. So a lot of parents are just like, what is happening in these classrooms? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I just see a grade and I'm like, and my kid can't tell me because they don't know or it's a bad grade. So they don't want to tell me.
Right. Mm-hmm. They've somehow forgotten.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, I call it, the new system of reporting. And it's just every 2 weeks, you take every single piece of paper you did for homework and you write a cover sheet letter. And it's three sections. The first section is, here's what we did the last 2 weeks. And be as specific as you can, because they're still not very good at it, obviously. But some of the kids are really funny, and some of the kids, there's such an interesting and really broad range of results that I see. So some kids are like, and this is how you do this. And they're like copying from their notes that they copied from the whiteboard. Mm. So it's really like what I'm saying directly to their parents. And then other kids are just like, we learned this, 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 and that's it. That's all I'm giving. Yeah. I'm like, better than nothing, unless your parents have. So, at least like, you have something to put in Google, like if all else fails.
Yep. Right.
And the second piece is, here's how I feel like I'm doing at these skills. And that's based off of, do I feel like I've understood stuff happening in class? And their homework, I don't take it up anymore. I check to see that they have it, and I have keys. So they come in and they check their own work to see if they got what they got right and what they got wrong. But I'm grading homework on completion, and then they can see. But then it's like, how many questions did you miss the last 2 weeks on the homework? That should give you a clue about like how well you understand.
Yeah.
Or if a quiz got sent back, that gives you another way of knowing. And then the third section is what is either here's my plan for like I'm gonna get help, or it's just I've done really well the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And which one of my students likes to say, it's the I'm so smart section, because you just get to kind of celebrate yourself a little bit. Yeah. And so like that's just something completely new that I started last year, because I was also just sick of having, like 6 pounds of paper every week because I was giving out so much homework. Well, I'm also, this is my version of the binders, which is like every year I just write completely new tests and homework.
Right.
So every single year, because I'm just like, I can't use this out of the book. I don't do that.
It never quite fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I know that it can be better if I just do it. And that lets me also make sure that like I write it that morning. So I get to school early-ish. I get to school like at 7:20. I do those first 30 minutes just like getting the homework stuff written down and copied and ready to go. And then I'll know this is the specific problem I put on the homework. I'd better make sure we do something like it in class so that, they're not going, what is this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of like, I think when people look at me and I say like, I just write new homework every single year, they're like, why would you do that?
Right.
Like things exist. And it's just like, but like, that's my version of like, why would you make the binders. And it's like, this gives me the level of control I need to feel like I'm delivering the best teaching possible.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard not to get defensive though when people are like, why are you there so late? Or why are you
doing that? Yeah, absolutely.
And you're
right.
Like, you worry about yourself. Like,
I want to do it my way, happy doing it this way.
Like, if I need help, I will ask for help. Yes. Like, I'm not miserable. Like, this makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something so real about what you said about, for me, even the timing, which for some I would think would maybe make people nervous. Like, what? You're making the homework that morning? But how magical is that? How fresh is that in your mind that you just made the homework? So as you enter class, that, like, that is, that makes so much sense to me in terms of workflow, how then you're going to really, it's going to impact your instruction and you're going to prepare kids for that homework. And it's interesting to think about, like, in this question of invisibility and, like, the work we do outside of class, there's also questions around, like, timing of the work that we do. I'm assuming that the timing of the big system you described, which is so cool, and I'm so excited about Aliana Russ having to do this. Was this over the summer? Was this in the fall?
Like, I talked with... So last year when I, like, piloted it, I just was like, we're doing this.
You started it last year.
And... But it was not as intentional. So over the summer, I refined it. And actually, when I was doing my Critical Friends Group training, that was my dilemma that I brought, or that was, like, my tuning protocol, essentially, to, like, tune, like, how should I make this communication look for parents so they'll understand, like, why I'm doing it. Because my nightmare is, like, extra work for parents.
Right.
Because it's just, like, I get that they're catastrophically busy all the time. And so I'm like, I'm not trying to make this be extra for you. I'm trying to make this be helpful for you. But I do have my one piece of, like, accountability is just, like, you know, send me an email to let me know that you got the letter. Because last year I found that, like, I read every letter before it went home. Like, I was in my hands. I read over it. I handed it back to the kid. And then I would talk to parents about it. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So kids were just And it was just like, okay, I need to, like, send them an email the morning it's coming home and be like, hey, you got it in the backpack today. Make sure you look for it. Because, you know, otherwise, I think it's still good that the kids are practicing writing it, but it's, like, it's nice to have, like, the product given to the recipients.
Yeah. Right.
For sure, for sure. Okay, I'm noticing the time. We're trying to keep these tight episodes, so we have to jump to Sana. Sana teaches kindergarten, so we've gone from second grade to fifth grade. Now we're going to our youngest learners. What does it mean to, like, prepare? What are you doing? What are you doing in kindergarten?
But I mean, actually, to be honest, it sounds like a lot like what y'all do in second grade, even in middle school, like the differentiation. We have such a wide range of skills in kinder too. Or I would say especially in kinder, like some inner barely knowing their letters and some are sounding out words and doing all that. So I use a lot of my time on, like, thinking of my small groups and what do these kiddos need. I would kind of say, like, I feel on Hannah, you were saying about staying late. I feel like I did that, like, my first pre-kids. But after that, I've kind of learned to find my little times during the day. Like, I come in a little bit early in the morning, get my little time. My daughter's playing in a classroom, and I get, like, all my stuff set up, and then I find those little moments throughout the day where, you know, I could be chit-chatting with my team about the weekend or about the mistletoe, but instead I'm just, like, prepping all my stuff, and sometimes it's, like, cutting orange paper strips for pumpkins, and so, you know, because those are all the, like, also skills that we need, like, they're practicing ripping the papers, and so, you know, the prep work might look a little bit different, but it's still exactly the same concept. Thinking of what does this student need and what do they need. So it looks
sounds pretty similar. I mean, I think for me too, something that I think a lot of people that aren't teachers maybe don't know is how much what you're doing in class or what you're planning to do in class or what you just did in class takes up residence in your brain. Like, so I'm not at school, it's not teaching hours. I'm going on a run listening to a random podcast and I'm like, this is a memoir. We're talking about memoir. I have to look at this section.
Why does everything connect?
It's 21. It's everything. thing connects all the time. I'm going to a restaurant, I read a menu item, and I'm like, dang, that's good writing. The way that they describe that menu, I'm going to snapshot this, and we're going to start class with a snap. And I love this part of tea. Like, I think so often this topic, it's easy to kind of go down sort of a more negative, like, so much of this is invisible and I'm working so hard and you have no idea. But for me, it's also the delight.
It's so fun.
It's the delight that, like, what I encounter in the world has a different meaning and significance because I'm sharing it with someone else, like my little tiny class of seniors. And at the same time, it is constantly that balance of them, like, and also, when do I need to turn it off, right? And I know we need to close out this podcast, but I think a really good moment for me happened, or a moment of thinking about that happened when I was still teaching at Millsaps, and I was my kids were much younger, and I was trying to give them some attention on like a Saturday night. We were having like a family board game night, and I was so behind on grading some like lesson plans or something. Who knows? Teaching philosophy statements. I mean, stupid stuff. And it's like a kind of pagers. Thing, and just a waste of time. Anyway, it's fine. So, so anyway, glad not fine. To it's be assigning those. It's fine. So I'm like, okay, this game is mindless. Grading lesson plans is half mindless. Like, I can do both. And then, of course, Xander Paul Rust is two, and like we're playing headbands, and he's excited, and he knocks his massive glass of chocolate milk all over my beautiful laptop. And it was such a metaphor or something of like, okay, one thing at a time. Like, I think this conversation for me is holding both of those truths together. For me, if this is teacher truths and this episode's about invisible, it's like, some of the pieces that are invisible are the best parts of our job, and like we love them because we love this job. And then also Julie Rust, at least sometimes one thing at a time. And like maybe the thing doesn't have to take up so much time. But the English teacher version that I know Matt just walked in for a different meeting we're about to have, but grading papers is one of my favorite things. I love sitting with my students writing. Like, it is my favorite thing to think through, not even necessarily to put the feedback directly on the paper, to think through trends and think through what does this mean for instruction when we next meet. Like, I find it fascinating. I find it, like, and I know not all English teachers would share this, like, part of, like, I love this part of teaching. But for me, like, and again, it's takes away from my family. Like, I'm sitting away from the kids playing basketball or whatever, but that's fine. Like, I'm happy on the couch with my tea, and I'm actually having a great time with my students. Right. So anyway, I think we could all share a lot of examples, but for me, I think that tension of like both, we need to sometimes do less, but also like, yay for jobs that are consuming in all sorts of ways that I hope we can find like rejuvenating. And I don't know. Okay. We got to end this. Final words from everybody. Final words about anything related to today or things you wish people knew about your job or what you care about. And then we will forever hold our peace.
What?
Oh, wait. No, back to the Halloween theme.
Hard turn back into Halloween.
I would give some advice that if you are staying late on the South Campus, make sure that you brought your badge that day. Because they lock the gates at 6, and I did not have my badge. It has my key on it, and it was not an hour that I would want to share with people, and so I was too embarrassed to call Greg. I tried calling Judy, but she was already asleep.
Damn, Judy.
Luckily, my boyfriend was able to wake up after I called him 1,000 times. He's like, my key is on the counter. Like, I'm going to need you to wake up and drive over here and let me out of the gate. Because I was locked in. But there are lots of good areas to sleep if I had needed to.
Not that you know from experience. You've never spent the night.
I've never spent the night, but like, there are some really good...
There's some cozy
spots.
There's
some really good like window, bench kind of like pillows. I don't know.
A lot of classrooms have lots of beanbags and stuff. Yeah. You can make it happen.
All right.
I could have if I needed to.
That's the spirit.
I'm glad I didn't have to.
I'm so glad you didn't have to, yeah. That's an amazing final word.
Yeah.
And mic drop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what to say after that. I've never almost not spent the night here, like not being that close.
Let's just leave it that way.
Yeah, we'll just leave it that way.
That's fair.
Yeah.
My thing is, the invisible thing is how much we think about, like, social dynamics. Oh. And how much we also don't like it if we see friendship issues. I think, you know, like, it's really tough to see that.
You mean among the kids or among the kids. Colleagues?
Among the kids.
I mean, both, but,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Especially because it's just, like, yeah, I think a lot of teachers spend a lot of time thinking about, like, social groups and how are we going to manage this.
And ooh, you're so right.
How do you partner?
Yeah.
Like, if there's a kid that's hard to work with.
Yeah.
How do you partner them every time and how do you make it fair to everybody? And
You're so right. On my drive over here, I was thinking about one thing a kid said to another kid, and I teach 18-year-olds. And
right.
I was like, dude, do I need to circle back with both of
them? Like, yeah. But for real.
Yeah.
I know. And if you had told an 18-year-old me that I would be like, really thinking about what one 11-year-old said to another 11-year-old. I've been like, whoa.
Toby's first grade class that year really threw him for a loop. He had some nice girl drama then.
Oh, Toby!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That's for another episode.
Yeah.
We need a girl drama episode.
Yes. Sounds good. Toby will lead it.
Sounds amazing. Well, y'all, we have to cut this off. I've so enjoyed hearing some of your very ghostly, ghastly... We didn't do a very good job maintaining the theme.
Frankly, ghoulish.
Frankly, you're all a bunch of ghouls. No, no. You're what's it good? Like you're as cool as a ghoul. That's a good ending, Josh. Keep that. Josh, keep
one
that.
One more time. Take it one more time.
Okay. The same line?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like
the or maybe it's like be cool.
Don't like be a ghoul.
Don't be a ghoul. Stay at school. No, don't stay at school. Don't be a ghoul. Or a fool.
I'm losing my
Give
mind.
Up. Julie, stop. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you!